You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. This week on the Corrections Connection, we're looking at different types of jail partnerships. And joining us today to discuss this topic is Rod Miller, Director of the Bureau of Justice Assistance Jail Work and Industry Center. Rod Miller founded the nonprofit Community Resource Services, Inc. in 1972 and has operated the BJA's Jail Work and Industry Center, a national clearinghouse on inmate labor with the DOJ funding for over 10 years. His work has taken him to more than 900 correctional facilities throughout North America. He has headed several national initiatives under contract with the DOJ and recently assisted the American Society for Law Enforcement Training to produce the first edition of its new performance-based practices for administration of law enforcement training. Rod has authored numerous texts and articles on subjects ranging from facility design to case law. He recently finished revisions for the NIC Staffing Analysis Workbook for Jails. Other publications that he's authored or co-authored include Developing Jail Industries, a Workbook, Operating Jail Industries, a Resource Manual, NIC Jail Resource Manual, and NIC Policy and Procedure Workbook for Jails. He was honored by the Foundation for the Improvement of Justice in 1992 and received the McLaughlin Award from the National Correctional Industries Association in 2003. Now that we know exactly what he's done with all of his career, welcome to today's Live Talk. How are you, Rod?
Well, I'm almost impressed if I didn't know my name.
Well, we're happy to have you with us today to talk with us about jail partnerships. And we thought because you've worked in jails across the country in several capacities, you'd have a good reference point for today's discussion. So let's start maybe with what you've seen. Are jails becoming more involved in partnerships, and maybe what do you think are some of the things prompting those new ventures?
I'm not sure that jails are becoming more involved in partnerships as much as they're diversifying
Okay. The
kinds of partnerships and maybe improving the ones that they have. I think we're seeing a lot more partnerships that are clearly mutually beneficial rather than one-sided. And as far as what's prompting them, I think it's really been meeting changing needs and opportunities, finding ways to meet problems and meet challenges that are posed by the economy and other kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm. There's also been a lot of talk about reentry in recent years, too, which I suppose maybe as more folks outside of corrections focus on that, maybe it makes it easier for jails to make those kind of connections.
Well, I think it does. I think that the more people that are aware of jails and what they can do makes a better audience for more partnerships and more potential partnerships. The first project we did along these lines was back in the 70s in Michigan, and the whole concept was to have the correction system, the state correction system, kind of come out of the dark and say, here's who we are, here's how to find us, here's what we need, and to ask in kind for community agencies, higher education, all kinds of community resources to then come out and offer their partnerships. And that worked really well. It was a matter of letting the community know what's out there, what's needed, and how to establish contact with corrections.
In sort of talking about the development of partnerships, is there a beginning of that realization? Does that start within the facility itself with different departments, or say custody, working with healthcare inside a jail, or those kinds of kind of inner partnerships? Is that somewhere where this idea can start?
It's one of the places. I think that sometimes the initiative for a partnership might start with staff, with volunteers, with different folks inside the facility. But the impetus and the initial starting point can really be anywhere on the spectrum of stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting project that the American Bar Association did a few years ago where they tried to map out the stakeholder universe for, in this case, for correctional industries. And it was interesting to see that the range of partnerships that were possible were really very broad and a lot broader than we had really anticipated. One thing we know, though, is that if we don't have support from the inside of jails, we are going to be very frustrated in trying to implement new programs and operational changes.
And so going back to the idea of reentry that we were just talking about, what would you say are some of the largest areas of collaboration between jails and the community, or providers in the community, or even private organizations?
I think if we're talking reentry, and then I think there are other kinds of partnerships we need to put on the table.
Sure.
The reentry relationships evolve based on the latest approach that the federal government takes towards the issue of employment and labor.
Mm-hmm.
So currently we have the one-stop organizations, the Workforce Incentive Act, Investment Act. Those kinds of programs are now the way that we link up with federal funds, state-administered programs, and eventually local programs.
Mm-hmm.
We also have had a traditional relationship between jails and the community in the form of work release. We have inmates who come from the jail and go out and work in the private and public sector as regular employees.
Are there some others beyond sort of the work aspect?
There's a lot of ways that we have partnerships, especially in jails. We have operational partnerships. We've had contracts for various kinds of specific services, whether it's healthcare, food service, commissary, things like that. We have operational arrangements for volunteers. In a broader perspective, we have a partnership between the jails and the law enforcement community, and with jails and their own staff. And there's a whole spectrum of partnerships having to do with programs, primarily to benefit inmates, but also looking at families, looking at victims, and other kinds of stakeholders that are involved.
Right, and I suppose as more of those develop, then it kind of makes it easier to expand upon them.
Yep.
Is the idea that that more and more folks, not only just the corrections folks, but the community lawmakers need to be involved in trying to reduce recidivism, is that the driver behind the creation of some of these partnerships, would you say?
A few of them, yes, but I'd like to think that is underlying a lot of the initiatives we see, but I don't think that's the primary incentive that brings most people into these partnerships. If we believe in recidivism reduction, it's really a leap of faith these days, but we don't have good research that tells us, that really proves to us, that investing money on this end of the process pays off down the road. And so in terms of counties and county jails, it's some of the more far-sighted and imaginative counties that invest in that kind of activity. I think more typical are partnerships that are problem-oriented and that respond to specific needs and issues, and in some cases opportunities like the one-stop and the workforce acts and those kinds of things, but that are specifically targeted towards issues of the day, such as mental health, which is a currently emerging one, or it's at least getting more attention now, juveniles, those kinds of issues.
Yeah, and also, and jobs, you being in the work and industries center, inmate jobs seem to be, the jobs that inmates can get after release seem to be one of the things that folks believe are going to help them to lead a more productive life after release.
That's the assumption. There's some anecdotal experience that tells us that that's the case, especially with jails.
Yeah.
With jails, 70-80% of our inmates are released locally.
Yeah.
Unlike state systems, the length of stay is shorter, so the time that they've been out of the workforce is shorter. There's a lot of things that really mitigate towards jails being most effective reentry ports. And I think we're seeing a lot more partnerships between jails and state systems, and also federal systems, with regard to reentry.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Rod Miller, director of the BJA Jail Work and Industry Center, about jail partnerships. Going back to the development of these partnerships, are jails reaching out to agencies that are beyond their particular jurisdiction, their county, their city? You just mentioned the state. What are some of the things that you've seen in your travels around the country? And
well, there's a almost limitless number of partnerships that are being tried and that are out there in terms of potential. I've seen some really interesting programs that involve, for instance, states and counties. A couple examples are in around inmate industries and work programs, where we have very strong partnerships between county jails and state prison industry programs, both in Utah and New Jersey are good examples of them. There's a lot of potential for that. I've seen a lot of really exciting developments along the lines of nonprofit sector partnerships with the jail. And that could be local, but also could be a statewide effort. And some really interesting things have evolved there.
What, can you give me an example, or give us an example of
I guess I'll back up a step.
Sure.
One of the things that we promote is that if the jail is going to get into expanding their inmate productivity and reducing idleness in the jail, that there's a process to follow, and that process needs to build a strong foundation with the stakeholders by getting them involved, having them participate in creating the foundation for this whole venture. When that happens, the payoff is really a really strong one. One of the examples of the kinds of partnerships that come out with the nonprofit sector is something, for instance, that we saw in Arapahoe County, Colorado recently, where we had the sheltered workshop that ordinarily might consider itself a competitor with jail industries.
Can I ask you, what is the sheltered workshop?
It's the subsidized employment program that you'll find all over the country for the blind and the handicapped.
Oh, okay.
They take different incarnations, and you'll find them usually operating at almost every county level. And this is a workforce that's allowed to do special projects. They have protected products and services that they can offer to the public and the private sector, the public and private sector. And they have a clientele that's very appealing to the public, the people that are in need of services. And if we're going to put the sheltered workshop clientele next to our inmates, we know who's going to win the popularity contest on that one. A lot of the work that sheltered workshops do is very similar to the kind of work that jails can do. And this Arapahoe County situation was really interesting a few weeks ago, where the sheltered workshop, which has been involved with discussions with the county jail, brought a project and a contract to the county jail that they couldn't do. So they became partners in terms of referral rather than competitors.
Oh. Well, that's kind of interesting.
But the trick is to get people involved, to have participation, be really out front and upfront about all of this so that the public knows what you're about and they have a chance to shape policy so that later when you want their support, they're there for you.
And you're just mentioning how this sheltered workshop partnership popped up, but are there some other trends related to inmate work programs and the kinds of connections that jails can make maybe with even the private sector and imagining maybe, job readiness, training as well, and that kind of thing?
Definitely. We have federal programs that regulate private sector industries for inmates.
Uh-huh.
The certification now is being operated by the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and it's being contracted out primarily to the National Correctional Industries Association. These private sector programs are working not only in state at the state level, but also in local jails. Although it's more an exception than a rule to see private sector industries in the jail. But there's a lot of examples of really good programs that operate for private markets at the county jail level. Hennepin County, Minnesota has been a long-standing leader in this area. Stratford County, New Hampshire, a relatively small jail, under 200 beds, has been doing this for nearly 20 years with federal certification. And it's a win-win proposition. Local employers have a new workforce that they can access, and these inmates get job offers on release.
Yeah, which is really great.
Yeah.
Just in sort of wrapping up, I'm just wondering if you could, give us some idea of maybe what you think might sort of yet to happen related to partnerships and with jails, and maybe what else might be out there on the horizon that might see coming.
I think the next thing we'll see are more partnerships born out of necessity due to all the budget restraints.
Okay.
In particular, jails have the potential to mitigate the impact of budget cuts on both the municipalities and on the county level government, even at the state level. We've got a largely idle workforce that could be mobilized carefully and appropriately to really temper the impact of all the budget cuts that are being passed down from the federal level to the states and out of the county. I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
Well, that we will certainly be looking for those things, and thank you so much for taking part of your afternoon out to talk with us today. That concludes today's live talk, and again, thank you to Rod Miller of the BJA Jail Work and Industry Center for joining us. And thank you to our audience for tuning in. For more information on jail partnerships, be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.